This is Radio 89.7 FM. This is Arts Monday Simpoiesi, streaming to you from the Gadigal land of the Eora Nation. And we pay our respect to the elders past, present and those yet to come. My name is Ira and I'm joined here in the studio this morning by artist and writer Yu Bavica. We'll be talking about their latest work, Rest Your Identity, currently on at Tiles Gallery in Lewisham. Rest Your Identity is a part of Yu Bavica's ongoing project on rest. It involves a performative facilitation practice that leans on meditation and invites you to identify parts of your identity that require a little rest, revision, and kind reintegration on better terms. We will find out all about it in just a few minutes. But first of all, good morning, Yu Bavica, and thank you for joining us this morning on Eastside. How has your morning been so far, and what was your journey here like?
Good morning. Thank you for the invitation and for the lovely introduction. I would also like to acknowledge the Gadigal Wangal peoples on which country I live and work in the Inner West. My morning was fairly normal. I actually almost slept in a little bit. I usually start my morning with a cup of green tea and then I go outside. I'm really lucky I live next to a park. I appreciate having trees around me, and I develop this routine of going outside, getting a bit of sun exposure, and so that's how I start my day. And then I had a shower, you know, my breakfast, and then it took me about 50 minutes to get here. I don't come very often to Bondi Junction, so I think I'm going to go for a walk on the beach afterwards. Thank you.
Well, pleasure. we are lucky that the station is located here in Bondi Pavilion, so we do have this beautiful horizon to rest our eyes on as we come in and as we leave. And you mentioned how you almost slept in a bit today, and it's still relatively, well, it's not that early, but it's still morning. So does that mean that you are a morning person, somebody who tends to wake up early and start the day early and then maybe finish it early as well?
It's been changing over the years. I mean, I moved to Sydney about 8 years ago from Berlin, where I lived for a couple of years. I was really surprised by that early bird culture here. Mm-hmm. And now I notice that I start waking up early, but it's not always pleasant, I have to admit. So sometimes I wake up with, you know, feelings of worry and anxiety. It's quite a, you know, challenging times. Things happen, and so often I wake up and have to almost kind of ground myself again to reintegrate experiences from the night, the dreams, you know. I guess I have a whole journey before I wake up, actually. That's how it feels like.
And what are some of the grounding strategies that you employ, something that helps?
This morning, I just placed my hand on my chest and I kind of acknowledged my own presence. And I often... I got a really good advice from my amazing meditation teacher, Kainan Tan, for dealing with the kind of pain that is unavoidable these days. And so I ask myself, is it my pain? Mm-hmm. And then I just sit with that for a bit. And basically then I reaffirm myself that I'm okay. Mm. I say, I love you. Yeah. Mm.
given that for many years now you have been exploring the topic of rest and the importance of rest individually and in the wider society as well, I am curious, what does feeling rested feels for you? How do you know when you're rested? Where does that resonate? How does it translate on the surface so you know that you feel well and rested?
Such a good question. I think I personally struggle to feel to rest, like with actually let go of thoughts, and that's probably why I am into this topic so much. You know, it's like that. I'm the dog with the bone. Mm-hmm. I would say I try different things on the practical level. I swim, I go to sauna, so I just let my body, like I just try to switch from thinking to physical sensations, you know, exercise and so on. On a kind of psychological, mental level, I think a real feeling of rest for me if I surrender. If I kind of acknowledge, okay, things are like they are. So if I try to develop a little bit of a distance and step back and just look at things from a distance. And so often in these little moments, I find the actual rest when I can let go of things. And to acknowledge that not everything can be controlled. And not everything is to be controlled. Yeah.
So it's almost like that feeling of being able to see a bigger picture, like open the gaze wider rather than it being really kind of tunnel visioned where you're just drowning in a state of panic.
Yeah. Getting a bit of a, you know, another perspective. I think that helps.
Yeah. But also being able to get perspective requires feeling rested. And I'm speaking, you know, from my personal experience of that, when I feel exhausted or reaching burnout, that is just coping with even the minor thing in life is really difficult, because I just feel so overwhelmed by everything. That's when I was thinking about this question today, it was, you know, I was asking it to myself, how do I know when I'm feeling rested? And I have to say that I don't remember feeling that fully for a while, but it is definitely an ability to cope, to breathe, to even like be able to take deeper breaths.
I think, you know, in my art practice and I guess generally in life, I approached rest from different perspectives, and definitely rest has been a resistance exercise for me too. Which within that resistance, you know, you try to rest, but you also push against something, and that requires a lot of energy, you know. On my way here, I just thought about, you know, as someone who has two major migrations taking place in my life. I grew up in Central Asia, in Kazakhstan, then migrated to Germany, and then 14 years later migrated again to Sydney. So I have this migrant career that, for me personally, includes developing a habit of pushing against being put in boxes, you know, researched, explained, thought how to live, questioned, and so on. So there is that, the kind of a habit of resisting all of it. but also a deep desire just to rest. And so maybe that the experimentation with this meditation practice is about finding another way to, you know, approach this external and also internalized pressures from the perspective of, you know, rest and taking a pause. Yeah.
You're on Issa Radio 89.7 FM. This is Arts Monday Sympoiesis, and we are in conversation with artist and writer Yu Bavica, talking about their overall practice, but also their most recent project, Rest Your Identity. And you just mentioned this history or career, as you call it, of being put in certain boxes and ticking certain boxes through your identity of external expectations, but then those external expectations become internalized as well. And this is what your current project, Rest Your Identity, looks at and tackles in some ways. And this project is, as I mentioned earlier, part of your ongoing practice on rest. So you have been working on this topic for more than 5 years. How did it all start? Like, if you trace the beginnings of this project, and in what way did it change over time? How is this current Rest Your Identity iteration different from the very beginnings of your thinking on this topic?
Oh, that's that's such a good question. I'll try to kind of make a quick review.
You don't have to rush.
Yeah, I mean, you and I, we worked together on this project, Lost Rest. It's like, how many years? 5 years at the moment. I think I, around 2016, I got really interested in the Croatian artist Mladen Stilinović. His name was around a lot, you know, and some of his significant artworks and written pieces as well. One of the probably most well-known one is on laziness, you know, when he talks about the difference between the artist in the East and in the West, you know, and how in the West artists kind of lost the ability to be lazy, you know. But I guess I was interested in this whole spectrum of laziness, withdrawal, non-participation back then, and who can afford actually not to participate, you know, if you're not kind of a privileged, I guess, white male artist. And yeah, somehow through this journey, I ended up thinking and researching this idea of rest, which is also rest and I suppose sleep as well, right? Which has, of course, to do with the kind of the conditions we live in and everyone just being overworked. Yeah. So I guess coming back to presence, I probably didn't pick up all the steps I did, you know. But, and then we did a project with Connie Antis where we also, you know, asked at the first draft in 2018 or 19, I don't remember exactly the year, where we sort of experimented with saying no to certain offers, you know, like, yeah, so it took a different form. And with...
Just to, this is really interesting what you just touched on now, the connection between saying no and rest.
Yeah.
Do you want to say a bit more on that?
Yeah, I guess I'm just thinking how to avoid this whole conversation of going into the area of being an artist, but I suppose that's what it is. Sometimes it's just really hard to say no.
But that's in life in general, whether you are artist or not.
Exactly, yeah. It's like, you know, offer that doesn't serve you, basically. And how do you take your time to think about it and then to say no? If it doesn't serve you, you know, if it doesn't give you a good feeling in your gut, if you are invited to... to give a talk, to do something that could potentially look good on your CV, but you're not getting paid for it, you know? This is a really, like, a big gray area in the arts. But also in life, of course. I think one of our examples with Connie was, how do you say no to a marriage proposal? Or just how do you explain your absence? That's another thing, right? So what I realize, you know, now being on this earth for like 40 years and also being an artist for a decade, you can't be creative all the time. It's just not possible, right? There will be times in your life where you just have to be quiet and hibernate. And you have to often transform your practice or just change your life. You're going through a change. These gaps, these moments of quiet and hibernation and change, there is no vocabulary in an artist's career for it, right? And then, of course, and then you go to... I don't know, retrospectives like recently Louise Bourgeois, you know, and she didn't do anything for 10 years. She could have been disappeared and no one would talk about her, actually, if she didn't come back after these years, you know. So, yeah, this practice somehow for me also has to do with this pause, taking a pause and somehow... looking for an option to still be present, visible, even if your practice is transforming. It's just, I'm just experimenting with it.
It's interesting what you're touching on as well here is that, as you said, you know, she didn't do anything for 10 years, but I'm also always questioning this not doing anything in the moments of pause is a huge question for me, because my experience is that in those moments of pause, everything happens. It's when we actually work the hardest. It's just that it's completely invisible work, sometimes even to ourselves. But without those moments of pause, the rest of the work doesn't exist. And then it's only... And I, we both know that really well from being writers as well. I experienced that mostly as a writer, more than in any other form of expression. Those hours of complete antagonism where you are not doing, visibly nothing's happening. You're staring at the horizon, you're going for a walk. But most of my texts get written then. And then I only sit when it's done. When it's done in my head, I sit at a desk and something comes out in that concrete form. But those periods are long and, yeah, they're not paid for because nobody sees them as an integral part of what we do. And I think it's in any other form of practice that that thinking, contemplation time, you can't have it without it.
You're so right. You're absolutely right. And I would really love to develop a language for it. You know, like, and when you go you can still go to, you know, to an opening, hang out with your colleagues or friends. And if someone asks you, what are you working on? You can just say, hey, I'm resting. And it's okay. It doesn't mean... because we put so many... We request so much of us. We put so many expectations, you know? We have to know. We have to enjoy ourselves, you know? Like, it's incredible, actually, how much expectation you would put on ourselves.
When I asked a friend who is a writer and a filmmaker, what are you doing, once she answered, growing.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, exactly. Yes. I'm just imagining myself as a tree.
Or a seed. You know,
or a
something
seed.
Is sprouting.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that was her thinking, you know, I'm sprouting.
Yeah, life is cyclical, you know. Mm-hmm. It's not this kind of narrative that has been sold to us, that, you know, it's kind of a linear narrative of progression and success and succeeding in all of that.
Mm.
Yeah.
Which in some ways I think takes us to the present tense, which is your current project, Rest Your Identity.
Yeah.
And I stopped you in your track of thinking of that, how that emerged, and in what way is, if it is in any way different from your original approaches to the topic of rest?
I like to talk about how things emerge, because often they also come out of a conversation or a situation. Last year I was lucky to do two residences with a UTP in Bankstown called Season of Care, where a group of artists were invited to just to be present in the space, you know, to work on the projects. I guess with the broader, like we engaged the topic of care on a broader level, but also from the disability justice perspective, because I'd say at least half of the artists would identify as being disabled by this society. And I remember having a lunch, so we had a lot of sitting down, lying down situations, just eating, a lot of nourishing, actually, a lot of watering the seeds, you know, acknowledging that rest is needed. And at some point, I was just lying down after lunch, and then a good friend and writer, Brian, came in also to have lunch and asked me that question, so what are you doing? And what came out of my mouth was like, I'm just resting my identity. So it's not unusual for me that, like, I'm thinking about something for a couple of months and then it's just pop, comes out like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we finished the residency and made a beautiful program of performances, we call them offerings, I put together this, it's a meditation, because it follows all the classical steps of meditation, like a short version of it, in collaboration with, Naomi Siegel, just for this particular event. And I really liked that feeling of, facilitating. It felt to me like providing service.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I wanted to look a little bit closer at this practice to see if that has a potential. Yeah, and so when I applied to be included in the program at Tiles, I actually I just came back from a long trip overseas, and I brought back a hammock, and I observed the kind of hammock culture in Berlin, you know, Every single person would have a hammock at home, or, you know, just find a tree and hang it, and So I found it really interesting. So I tested it myself. It's amazing. I would recommend get a hammock.
I have one.
Yeah. So it takes 10 minutes, and then you basically feel like a baby. Mm-hmm. You just hang in there, you know, like a fruit bat. So I proposed to have a hammock residency, mm-hmm. and then I attached this meditation practice to it, mm-hmm. which also logically and interestingly takes place in the common area of tiles at the back. So basically, you have the exhibition space at the front with artworks, and then at the back, it's this sort of back area of the consciousness. Uh-huh. That's where the tools are. This, and that's where you can rest, you know. It's exactly.
Yeah. That's interesting that you, because you mentioned tools, you said that's where the tools are, and that's where you can rest.
Yes.
Seems, tell me more about that line of thought, because it almost seems paradoxical to rest where the tools are.
Okay, so I will just translate it into this meditation practice. Or I call it performative facilitation practice because I think because I have a huge respect to meditation practice, and I know how long it takes to actually be able to be a good meditation teacher and facilitate meditations. But what I do is I invite people to rest for a while, to close their eyes, to take a comfortable posture, to sink into the body, to focus on the breath, to basically slow down and observe what's going on in the experience. And then to pay attention what's going on in the body. And then I suggest you look for a particular identity part, or maybe a habit or a rule, mm-hmm. or a kind of impulse that is prominent. And then I give examples. I say maybe it is, you know, maybe it's your role of a carer or a worker or someone who is a lot on the streets, you know, protecting their people, or just pay attention, you know, like how many boxes you ticked again. And then try to put this part, to give it a bit of rest, to put it down. Right, so we give it some rest, and we take a bit of distance, and we observe what else is happening. Mm-hmm. What else is happening in the presence? What else appears, comes to the surface? Does it bring any feelings of rest at all? And then after a while, I suggest you go back to this part that has been resting for a while and approach it as a good friend to say, hey, how are you doing? And to welcome it back, to actually integrate it, not to reject it, to treat it with kindness. That's the journey that I kind of offer.
And in your experience, this idea of not abandoning this part of your identity, but taking it back in, but on different terms, as you say, why do you find that as the better approach than rejection? And what are these better terms that you experience, or that you experience yourself that help?
You know, when we talk about sort of identity and how we try to find our own positionality. And quite often it's a request, you know. We feel like we maybe needed to be seen, you know. We have to differentiate ourselves a lot from others. And what if someone else is more different than I am? I mean, that for me is the flip side of the diversity politics. Mm-hmm. And there is a lot of awkwardness in talking about it openly. So, like with anything, if you use something a lot, you know, you run a tendency to burn out, to overuse. And then it's really hard to love this part of yourself. It's really hard to approach it with kindness, with care, with a good protection, you know. And I think we need it. We actually, there are parts of us that are not for sale. It should never be. So we always run on these eggshells as, you know, this and that and queer, migrant, you know, and so on. Yeah.
And what is the kinder approach, like when you speak about reintegrating those parts of you on kinder terms, what is this element of kindness?
I guess treating these parts as integral, you know, as important ones, but not to make them labor all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, not to be that employer of your own identity. To find that healthy kind of dialogue. Mm. Yeah. Mm. To, I don't know, to be, I mean, we all want to be whole in the end. Mm. We want to be at peace with who we are. And not always to feel like we have to exploit ourselves or be hyperprotective and so on.
Or perform ourselves as,
yeah,
this at the end is this performance of identity, which, yeah, is a form of labor.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, that's kind of one of the thoughts that I am playing with at the moment. Like, what if you don't have an identity? Which is, I mean, it's not such interesting term anyway, to me, to be honest. Like, I'm more interested in other things like interconnectedness and, you know, conditionality and stuff like that. Mm. But, yeah, like, what if you just give up and rest? Mm-hmm. Just for a bit. Mm.
You're on ESED Radio 89.7 FM. We are in conversation with artist and writer Yubavika here on Arts Monday Sympoiesis, and we are talking about their latest project, Rest Your Identity, currently on a Tiles Gallery in Lewisham. You, in the, well, with this current iteration of your ongoing project on rest, you are really interested in somatic experiences of exhaustion and then of rest, which maybe in some way and maybe not is a bit of a turn from, you know, thinking about it from theoretical and intellectual perspective to really turning towards the body and the physical experience of those sensations, because at the end of the day they are physical sensations first and foremost. Why this shift, if it is a shift? What do we get by tuning in with the body rather than just, you know, over talking about it as we currently, I guess, are. But yeah.
Mm. I think I'm just in general interested in, I think it's The kind of, for me, it's of course materiality of this experience of being alive, you know, feeling things in your body, with your body, the materiality of our surroundings. I don't believe in this distinct, like, I mean, I am a lot in my head, so that's probably also my personal motivation. thinking, you know, overthinking, and yeah, so it's a healing practice for me too. I don't really think that there is such a separation between the mind and the body, actually, mm-hmm. like as it has been proposed by the, I don't know, thinkers in the previous century. Let's put it this way.
I mean, mind is part of the body.
Yeah, of course. It's pretty much, it's pretty much a wild place, you know. And if you have a meditation practice, you would know that what's going on in your head, in your it's a wild cacophony of voices. Agreeing, disagreeing with each other, you know, trying to convince, complain, and all of that. Mm-hmm. So we need to listen to our bodies more and more. Mm-hmm.
Mm. Mm-hmm. On Saturday this week, on the 20th of April, mm-hmm. From 3 p.m., you are inviting people to come and participate in this facilitation practice that you will offer. Do you want to share a bit more about what to expect and invite the listeners to come?
Yeah. So please come. Lewisham is in the Inner West. It's an awesome exhibition space that has been supporting artists now for 2 or 3 years. So I will offer another meditation. I'm thinking about maybe experimenting with another topic of getting lost, mm-hmm. which is also very exciting and I think very kind of challenging, you know, not knowing where to go. Thinking about change, you know. Please come. There will be another artist talk from 2:30, and I will offer my meditation practice from 3, and which will run probably for 20 minutes, and we can have a little discussion afterwards. I just share our experiences. I'd like to, you know, exchange with people who join, and I also asked you to join me for a little conversation afterwards, and you kindly said yes, so I'm really looking forward to it, to basically continue this conversation and also, you know, all the previous ones. Yeah,
lost is a beautiful topic because I think maybe Rebecca Solnit writes about many people have said that, you know, in being lost is where you find yourself, mm. or find new ways, as you speak, you know, about change. So, I believe everyone experienced this, that, you know, when you get lost, you find something that you never thought of. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. it's a lovely invitation to attempt that change of, which is also change of imagination, what we can even put in those heads of ours that are part of our bodies.
I'll give it a go.
Thank you for being part of Eastside this morning. Have we missed saying anything about this work that you would like to still share or express?
So many things. I mean, I want to say thank you actually to Kainan Tan, my meditation teacher, who I had a consultation with before running the first version. I'd like to say thank you to UTP, who supported the residency last year and actually allowed for this practice to emerge. And yeah, I think there are so many interesting practices happening at the moment that kind of diverge from maybe I don't know, I don't want to say common practices in art, because what is it anyway, you know, it's all kind of a bit of a wild territory, but yeah, that you know, work with body and mind has been there for like always and always and always. Yeah, I'm not trying to be a healer or, you know, in this regard, I don't have the knowledge, but I'm just exploring this territory. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
You also, now that you say that, one thing that you noted in a few notes that you sent to me is that you also employ humor in your work as an important element, and that obviously, you know, 15 minutes or 20 minutes, as you said, is not enough to do the work. And then I was thinking about time in that context, you know, the choice to run it for 15 or 20 minutes only, as opposed to maybe run it all day, you know, as a durational piece. Were you entertaining thoughts about length, you know, whether to go for 5 minutes or 15 or half an hour? And what then, how did the choice of the length come about?
In my experience from meditation is, if you don't have much of a practice with meditation, you're pretty much looking to instructions. Mm-hmm. So it's good if you're getting instructions every kind of, you know, 10 to 15 seconds. So it's nice, it's a nice flow, you know. There is a voice guiding you. So I guess this performance can be stretched, of course, like easily. And I think the one I ran at the opening in early April was probably about 20 minutes. So I'm just thinking about also bodies that are not used to sit for such a long time. You know, it's a challenge. Like you have to sort of train yourself a little bit. Yeah, so I'm offering that experience, and as you said, of course, it's a band-aid of sorts. I see it almost as a just community exploration, hoping for a little exchange afterwards. You know. If something came up for people or not, or maybe they just fall asleep, that's what they needed, you know. That's also okay.
So we are not asked to bring a hammock to this session.
No. There will be some, there will be chairs and a couple of cushions. Yeah, so it's, and also people have different approaches to what meditation, you know. Mm-hmm. Some people say, no, that's nothing for me at all.
Yep.
So maybe calling it a performance is a different approach as well. Mm-hmm. That is less kind of, maybe more inviting for, you know, for artist community.
Mm-hmm. But yeah. Also everyone is invited, whether you are a part of artist community or not.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Yeah,
the doors
course.
Are definitely open in this project.
Yeah, there is nothing specifically marked as, you know, art in this practice. Yeah. Mm.
Yep. So as long as you have a body, which you definitely have if you're listening, you are very welcome to come this Saturday on 20th of April. at 3 p.m. Mm-hmm. to Tiles Gallery, which is located in Lewisham, and just Google Tiles, and you will find the address. You, thank you again for being with us on Eastside FM this morning, and I hope you have a lovely walk by the ocean after this, resting your identity.
Thank you. Yeah, I know it's Monday, but take care of your week. Rest your identity and other parts. Thank you.